probably know that I'm a fairly calm person. Okay, a few of you do. I tend to take sort of an even approach to things and not react too much. And I'm more often criticized for putting people to sleep. I had a professor suggest that maybe rather than sermons, I should do meditation tapes. Rather than making a big fuss about something. But that doesn't mean there aren't days like this morning. See, usually Sunday morning is the time when I think through my sermon. I'm thinking about it all week, but the part where I'm making sure it's all fitting together, doing the edits and changes that I need, making sure it makes sense and it's hopefully worth saying out loud. Not perhaps the most brilliant thing to do when I'm not a morning person either, but it's my general approach. But this morning, of course you know about the time change. And then there was the drama of getting Neil and myself ready on our own because Nikhil's working today and out the door, and then missing the bus because it took extra time to get ready because of the rain and other factors. So we missed the bus, and then by the time I'd passed Neil off to his grandparents and got up to St. Clair Station, first of all, it was wait for the bus, and then the bus wasn't working. And, you know, so we had to wait another 10 minutes. So I got to church about an hour later than usual, checked my emails and found out our church officer wasn't here, and the list goes on. So I didn't have a lot of stillness this morning. Not a lot of at least external calm to draw from as we talk about this topic, this theme that we're exploring in Lent, a voice in the stillness. And I share this frustration. I forgot to mention, I'm not a rain person either, so I'm not a morning person. So we're off to a bad start with the time change. And I'm not a rain person. There's a reason I left Vancouver. It was the rain. Not, it wasn't just the rain, but a lot of it was the rain. So by the time I got to church, I not only wasn't feeling calm and still, I was also feeling wet and cold. So I share this story and these sort of small level frustrations, because I think it's a reminder of the one of two very common approaches to calmness or stillness. And for many of us in our society, what we have is a lack of calmness, a lack of stillness. Our lives are filled with time changes and rain and delayed buses and busy schedules and children's sports events and the many social commitments and church commitments and meetings and other people that need care. And the list goes on and on and on. And it's hard to find those moments when we can just sit and be still and really pay attention to ourselves and what's going on. That's one of the reasons that this Lent we're doing once again the daily Lent emails for anyone who wants to sign up, as a way to just practice taking a little time for ourselves, to sit and be still and listen and pay attention. I think that's probably the most common experience in our society more widely, particularly those who are still working or have young families, or the recently retired who now have trips and babysitting commitments and other lists of all the things to do. And then the second option is the other extreme. People who find themselves only surrounded by stillness, who can't make it out or aren't motivated to do so, who don't have people constantly looking after them or having demands on their time, and so all that they seem to have is stillness. All they seem to have is that space. And that can be difficult if we're not paying attention to what gift stillness can offer. Maybe one of the reasons so many of us lead such busy lives is because we can find stillness and calmness challenging. Not just doing it, although for some of us that's certainly true, but experiencing it. For many of us, our attempts to have those quiet moments, or the times when we find we have nothing except those periods of waiting, those stretches of quiet moments, are much like the gospel story, where what we hear is not God's voice, not great insight about ourselves, not a sense of peace and hope, but the voice, as the story says, of the devil. Of all the parts of ourselves that we don't like, that we try to push aside and not listen to. All the parts of ourselves that clutter up our thoughts and our actions, that hold us back from who we want to be. In the fall, Jean Marie, our pastoral care minister, went to a program on running groups like the Circle of Friends, the group that some of the people on the pastoral care team and Jean Marie are working on organizing and getting going either later this year or next year. And one of the things she told me was that at this event, she was sitting down over breakfast talking to someone, and they shared with her what they call rugs. I said, all of us have rugs, you know, rugs that we sweep things under and don't look at it, right? Rather than getting the dirt right out of the house, you just sweep it under the rug, covers it up. And part of our task is to lift up those rugs and sweep out underneath everything that we need to let go of. And then she explained what rugs stands for. Regrets, unfinished business, guilt, and shame. Often that stillness is difficult because it forces us to pay attention to the rugs in our lives, the rugs that we're trying to ignore. We don't want to look down. We're not ready to do the sweeping. And the stillness forces us to pay attention to where there's still some housework to be done. This isn't something that's unique. It's not something that just happens to you or to the people you know. We know this from our gospel story. But the story of temptation, that story of all the ways that time alone is not just transformative, but challenging. It reminds us of our weaknesses, and it forces us to work hard to be true to who we are. So in the story, Jesus is tempted to reveal himself, to show truly his faith, his power, and to meet his physical needs, his hunger. And he's forced to be true to who he is, to what he thinks matters, not taking the easy way out, but allowing himself to spend that difficult time of recognizing what is wrong, how our world isn't just about easy fixes, that usually easy fixes are a temptation we would do best to avoid. the question, the sermon title question that we have today is, how do we listen? And part of that question is, how do we allow ourselves to be still? To risk stillness and the voices that we will hear, which aren't always the voice that we want to hear. But it's not just that. Stillness doesn't only make us pay attention to the rugs. Stillness doesn't only remind us of our weakness. Stillness is also the place where insight and transformation and new possibilities can be revealed. And so we read the story about Elijah. Elijah's encounter with God. See, many of the Hebrew scriptures have God appearing in dramatic ways. In a burning bush. In a pillar of cloud or a pillar of fire. In waters parting. In earthquakes and other dramatic signs of power. Reminder, as we talked about last week, of that sense of awe, the scale of the divine, and our own tiny place in it. And yet in the story we hear today, there are earthquakes and loud storms and rocks breaking and there's fire, and God is not in any of those places. You could say not in any of that busyness, that noise that fills our lives and catches our attention. And Elijah needed patience, needed to wait for the sound of sheer silence. The sound of sheer silence. Before he could hear God's voice. In the book study that we did in January and February, we talked 1 week about spiritual practices, and around the group, people talked about different experiences of trying to meditate. And the book talks about it as well, that often all of us have this sense when trying to meditate that we aren't any good at it. Everyone else is great at meditating, but I personally have no meditation skills. So that's a shared experience, that in fact meditating isn't something that anyone has natural skills for, that whenever we try to create that space, that silence, that stillness, our thoughts always crowd in, that we're continually sweeping away and not feeling like we're adequate, like not feeling that we're doing well enough. And yet sometimes when we keep working at it, we find those moments of sheer silence, where we gain an insight, hear a voice, see a new possibility that we never would have seen if we had just stayed in the noise and the busyness and the lack of calm that describes so much of our lives. We don't want, I think, to be in either of those places that are so common in our society, so busy that we cannot sit still for 5 minutes, or so still that there is no busyness, that there's no life. And each of us has that task of finding the balance between all that we do and the need for stillness. And each of us has the task of finding in the stillness the rugs that we need to sweep out so that we can be ready for that unexpected guest at the door when we've reached moments of silence. The reading about Elijah isn't quite right. Actually, God's present in the thunderstorms and the earthquakes and the fire and the breaking rocks as well. But it can be a lot harder to pay attention, not to put our own expectations on it. And it's when we find the stillness that's easiest to remind ourselves of what's always true, if we're willing to listen, that we are not alone, that in the midst of all the things that we get wrong and all the things that we don't do, we are precious, we are loved, we are whole beings, and God is with us. Amen.